This is Digital Story Podcast number 522, March 8th, 2016. Today's theme is Time Waits for No One. I'm Derek Story. We have what we love to do. Then we have the things that must be done. I'm coming off of January and February where I had to stay focused on my work every day. The only photo shoots I had were assignments. Otherwise, I was sitting at the computer writing or in the recording studio making movies. On some of those days, I so wanted to wander outside with my camera and just take pictures of anything. I didn't care what, as long as it wasn't an assignment. Those 2 months are the inspiration for today's show. Finding ways to find the time to do the things we love, while still meeting our responsibilities to work and family. Time waits for no one. One of the things that I do during heavy work periods is that I bring out one of my favorite cameras and I sit it on the desk next to my computer. Every now and then I'll pick it up, focus with it, and maybe even take a picture. Then I'll sit it next to the computer and go back to work. We can't spend our whole lives waiting for when we have time to do the things we love. We have to make the time. And for me, I have to make time to take pictures. Here are a few things that I do to make room for my personal photography. Take daily walks. So I have to walk anyway. You know, and this time of year, you know, I would probably rather ride my bike, but, you know, wet pavement and all, not really a great idea. So walking is my primary exercise during the off season. And I'll tell you, I'm a big proponent of walking anyway, because it's low impact on the body. It gets you out there. It's good for your legs. It's good for your whole body. It gets you away from work for a little bit. And it's easy. Anyone can walk that has, you know, the legs to do so. So I think a daily walk is just really a great idea. Now, sometimes I can get away with doing it at lunch, or I can do it during a mid-afternoon break. Sometimes I can't do it until evening after dinner. Now, obviously, on the evening walks, it doesn't do much good to take my camera with me. I mean, I could take it with me, you know, just to have it there, but not so good for picture taking. Although, I must admit, I do see shots on my evening walks that I go back and do the next day. So, there's that. But one of the things that is helpful for me when I'm in one of these crunches where I'm not shooting personal photography enough is that these walks that I take for breaks, I make sure I have a camera with me, and I make sure that I stop and just take one or two shots during the walk itself. And, you know, it's surprising how many times on a walk I will see something I don't anticipate, usually something weird and human-related, that ends up being, you know, not award-winning picture, but a shot that I'm glad I have, or a shot that'll end up in a project or on Instagram or something. So taking regular walks and bringing your camera with you, it's a win-win situation. It's exercise plus photography. You just have to make the time to do it. Set up an indoor studio. Now, this is really great this time of year. And I don't mean like a big thing with giant backdrops and everything. I have a little studio. I mean, obviously, I have a big studio where I work because it's my job. But within my big studio, I have a little studio which could easily work at home. And it's just one of those little, what I call them eBay boxes, right? They're the little white boxes that are translucent that have a white sweep backdrop, and you know, they're what, 18 inches by 18 inches, or 24 inches probably by 24 inches, something like that. And so you can put items in there, and you can then put lights all around, and you have a nice product shot studio, and you don't have to set up a whole big thing. Well, these little boxes are really cool. And you don't have to use white as your backdrop. They usually come with a number of different colors. And if you have something set up, some little studio, some little photography area that's set up that you don't have to set up, then when you only have a few minutes, when you only have a break, you can go take a picture of something. You can, you know, put something in there and photograph it. And I'm going to talk about a macro lens here in a minute and a couple other things that would all tie together with this. So having a little shooting area ready to go indoors is kind of a cool idea. And if you're lucky enough to have a workroom at home, this is something that can just be on a table over in the corner, just always there. That's what I do. I leave mine set up all the time. And now mine's on a little rolling table so that when I'm not using it, I roll it over against the wall. And then when I need it, I can just pull it out. But I'll tell you, if I had to set it up from scratch every time, I would take far fewer shots with it. Use a macro lens. You know, the funny thing about close-up photography, instead of having to go far to get a shot, is that you don't have to go far at all. It can be anywhere. And that's the beauty of macro photography. So if you have a close-up lens, if you have a macro lens, then the world around you in your immediate area suddenly becomes your, you know, living, breathing photography studio. Because by getting close to things, suddenly they become more interesting. And they're shots, quite honestly, that other people don't take. So having a macro lens on your camera or ready to go is a really good thing for when you're in those periods where you don't have a lot of time to go out and wander around in the world. You can explore the world around you with a macro lens, get a lot of good shots, and it's very time efficient. Have a non-shooting project going. And, you know, these really help me a lot. And I think because they're photography related, they sort of help scratch that itch. Now, I have one going on right now. I wrote about it this week. I published a story on the Digital Story about my gear inventory project. And I had procrastinated on this for a long time. I had notes here and you know, bits and bobs all over the place, but I didn't have one cataloged database that had all my camera gear in it with pictures and serial numbers and descriptions and how much I paid for it and all that sort of stuff. And I finally said, you know, I buy and sell a lot, and I do loaner gear for my students, and I need to get my act together in this area. So I started using an app called Home Inventory, and I, you know, it's a Mac app, but, you know, there are inventory apps for both platforms, so, you know, pick what looks good to you. And I wrote an article about it, so if you want to see it, just go over to the Digital Story and you can see what it looks like. But I take pictures of the items, and then I include all the information, and it goes in a database. That database can also be shared with my iPhone and my iPad. So not only is it on my computer, but it's on my mobile devices. And I can update it from my mobile devices, which means if somebody wants to buy something or borrow something or whatever, then I have all the information right there, and I can even update it. And it's really cool. Now, I still got a long ways to go in terms of updating it. But, you know, what I've been doing on these rainy days where I've been stuck in the studio doing writing and movie making is I take a break. I go, okay, you know what? I'm just going to get this done. And then at 3 o'clock, I'm going to take a break. And I'm going to go shoot 3 or 4 new items for the database. So then I'm using my little setup, my little eBay setup that I talked about earlier. It's already ready to go. So I pull out a couple things that I haven't cataloged yet. I take pictures of them. So I'm taking some pictures. And I'm really trying to get better at my product photography. So, you know, there's that benefit too. And then I put the pictures on the computer, and I stop at the time that I say I'm going to, half an hour, whatever time I've allocated for that. And then the pictures sit on there. And then when I need to take another break, let's say late at night, like when I'm getting this podcast ready for you. Then I take another break and I can enter some of the pictures into the database and add some information and just sort of chip away at it. And doing that really helps because I'm working on something that is, you know, it's my stuff. It's very personal. It's helpful. And when it's all done, it's going to be really cool because I started taking all of these pictures from scratch. Using the same setup and the whole deal. So this whole catalog is going to look beautiful. I mean, all the shots are just, you know, they're really nice and clean and, you know, with the same lighting, nice background, the whole deal. So I'm actually going to have a project that I even like looking at beyond, you know, its usefulness in case I ever need it for insurance purposes or sales or whatever. So these personal projects, especially if they incorporate other things like, you know, product photography and things like that, they're really good and they can just be there. You can just chip away at them and you have this thing ongoing. So I love them. I love them. And it's another one of the things that I do to get through these times where I have just a lot of work for other people. Plan a garden. This is such a good one, I tell you. Having a little patio garden, a little balcony garden, a little backyard garden that's right outside your door or right outside your window yields such huge benefits. I tell you, every time that I do this, and I'm going to do it again this year, I am so pleased because, for instance, let's say that I put some lavender out. Okay, so I have lavender, it's drought resistant, hardly has to be watered at all and all that. It's easy to grow. Have it in a pot. So not only do I have those interesting lavender buds to photograph, and they're fascinating when you get close to them, then they attract bees. So then I have bees also to photograph. Same thing with a lot of the other plants. They attract butterflies. They attract all sorts of stuff. So you have the flowers, you have the plants, you have the critters. And you can do all this in a very small area. I mean, really, if you have a 5 by 7 foot area, it's amazing how many different things you can get in there. And it's amazing on how many shots they produce. So again, so you have this thing going and you have a break and you just step outside your door with your camera and you find something to photograph. Different times a day, it's going to look different ways. And you get some great shots and you didn't have to go anywhere and it's super time efficient. So I think having a patio garden just has a huge return on time investment. And then it just feels good to be a gardener. I tell you, it's one of those things that puts you in touch with Mother Earth and the great planet around us and the whole deal. So we're coming into the time of year where you can start working on one before long. And you can start planning it now, the different types of plants that maybe attract the critters that you'd like to photograph. This is the last one here. Commute shoot. And, you know, I've touched on this before. I think I touched on it on the vacation when I was talking about, you know, how to survive family vacations. But if you can figure out a way to go back and forth to work without having to drive a car, that will increase your photography time. Because if you're riding shotgun, you know, if you're doing rideshare or if you're riding public transportation, suddenly your hands are free and there are things going on around you because you're moving, right? You're moving through time and space where you can take pictures. And I get a lot of great shots out the window. I get a lot of great shots in, you know, public settings, all that kind of stuff. Freeing up that time that's wasted with you just sitting behind a wheel in traffic getting frustrated, that's dead time. I mean, your life is ticking away and, you know, nothing's happening. So if you can find a way, it doesn't have to be every day, right? Let's just say that one day a week you say, I'm going to take public transportation to work, or one day a week I'm going to ride share with someone, or, you know, how it doesn't have to be every day. Just one or two days a week to shake it up, bring your camera, and get some shots. You'd be surprised. And so if you're on your way to work in the morning and you have a, you know, not an exciting day ahead of you, and you get one or two photographs that you find interesting, That changes your whole day. Your day will be different as a result of getting those one or two photographs that you feel good about. So the commute shoot, I think, is another one of those tips that I'm really high on. And like I said, you don't have to do it every day, but think about it. Think about a way that you can make that happen once or twice a week. So those are the ways that I think you can cheat time a little bit. You can bring back some of your life. You can bring back some of the things that you like doing, you know, into your daily grind without having to, you know, be a flake, without being irresponsible, without missing work, without shorting your family, without doing all the bad things. These things have no adverse impact on your employer or whoever you're working with or your family, yet you are going to feel better. You're going to feel better because you're doing what you love, which is taking pictures. In the news, DxO1 firmware update 1.3. And I got this right off the DxO site. This is pretty interesting what they've done. Now, if you don't know what the DxO1 is, it's that little camera that has a 1-inch sensor and a very high quality lens that uses the lightning port on your iPhone and it connects directly to it. So then you use your iPhone as a viewing screen and the screen to make the settings and all that kind of stuff. And then you have this very high quality camera with a 1-inch sensor doing the captures. So it started out as an interesting camera and it does have a shutter button on it. And one of the complaints that I know I had sometimes and other people had is that I always didn't want to connect it to my iPhone to take a photo. So even though you could shoot independently with it, you had to eyeball the shot. So with this firmware version 1.3, they've done some really interesting things with this camera. And suddenly I have to tell you, I find this camera more compelling than ever. So the first thing that they did was, you know, there's a little LCD on the back of it. Now, it had just been showing you your settings and so forth. What they did was, with the firmware, they created the OLED Framing Assistant, is what they call it, the Framing Assistant. And it's a monochrome live preview that helps you compose your standalone shot. It's really cool. So if you have a DxO1 and you have this firmware update, then all you do on that little LCD screen in the back, you just flick up, you just slide up, and you have this black and white image that's showing you what the lens is seeing. Now, I used it indoors, I used it outdoors, and because it's this high contrast monochrome image, even when you're in pretty bright light, you can still see the image, you can still frame it. And just being able to have those parameters, you know, just being able to see, you know, the essence of the shot on this little, it's a little LCD, but it works. And it was amazing. I took it out on my walk, all right? I took it out on my walk today, actually, my walk that I was telling you about earlier. And I was shooting on my walk, shooting with a film camera, and I took the DxO1. And all the shots that I shot with the standalone, with the DxO1, were composed exactly the way I thought they were, using this new little monochrome framing assistant. So this is dynamite. This is something that this camera really needed, and I'm thrilled about it. Now, they did some other stuff too. The way the workflow is now that, okay, so if you're shooting with this thing, it captures RAWs and JPEGs both, if you have set up that way. And then when you plug it into your phone, then it's like viewing a contact sheet, right? Then all the pictures that you captured in standalone mode now, bloom, flow onto your iPhone. You just tap the ones you want, and with one button up in the corner, you can download the JPEGs to your iPhone and use them. So they've smoothed out that workflow. The RAWs are still on the micro SD card inside the camera, and later on, if you want, you can use those in your photo management software to take advantage of that. So that whole part of it is really nice too. And then the last thing that they did, and I like this too, Before, when the camera was in standalone mode, it was always just in program mode, which was fine. But now what they did is that, you know, you have aperture priority, you have shutter priority, you have all these sort of things, different white balance, different ISO, all these settings you can do for it when it's connected to the iPhone. However you have it set up on the iPhone, when you pull it apart and you start shooting with it independently, it uses those settings. So if you want to be in aperture priority mode, wide open, that's what it'll do. So that's pretty neat. So this firmware update really, I think, starts to bring this camera to where it really needs to be. And then on top of that, the price has come down on it. The price was $599, and now you can get it at B&H for $464. 1-inch sensor, high quality lens, really is pretty slick. So anyway, that is the firmware update 1.3 for the DX01. Those of you that have the camera, do it. Man, this is so cool. You're just going to love it. Really, I'm serious. And then if you've been thinking about this camera and haven't gotten it yet because of the price or the feature set, I'll tell you, the feature set is killer now. I'm just talking about the new stuff. There's all sorts of stuff that's happened prior to this. It's really impressive. And the price has come down. So, you know, maybe it's something that you want to bring back onto your radar. I have some news from the folks over at Image Framer. And they have a new version. Version 3.4 of Image Framer is now available. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you know a little bit about Image Framer. This is a very cool application that allows you to take your images and, you know, in the purest sense, add frames to them. But not just any old frame. There's tons of different frames, and it's totally customizable, and there are mats, and there's all these things that you can do with it. You can use it as a preview for framing an image to hang on the wall. You can use it to create electronic images, let's say slideshow introductions and things like that, because it has overlays and you can make these great title slides and things like that. I mean, it just has a lot of stuff you can do. I've put images in there and prepared them for my fine art greeting cards because I could add type, I could put like a little black border, I could do all sorts of stuff. So this is a really useful app. So on version 3.4, they've done some nice things. First of all, they've added 60 new celebration frame designs. And they can be found in the Holiday and Celebrations collection in the Celebration set. And they're also part of the standard frame. So that means they're available for free to all customers. So they added 60 new celebration frame designs. Always a cool thing. Then they did something in terms of the UI. They renamed watermarks to overlays. And the reason why they did that is the thinking all along on watermark was that it was an overlay that allowed you to add copyright information, artist name, stuff like that. But when people saw just watermarks, they only thought in terms of watermarks, not realizing that you have this whole overlay functionality that you can do all sorts of stuff with. So they decided to change it to overlays, so that when you look at it, you go, wow, I could do an overlay here with any kind of text, you know, all sorts of stuff that I can do here. And it's not just for watermarks. So that was a nice little change they made. And then they added a lock button for the aspect ratio. And this is pretty interesting. And he wrote a whole blog post on how this works. And I have a link to it in the show notes. But essentially what it does is that when you're trying to preserve the aspect ratio, you know, you have an image at a certain aspect ratio and you want the frame automatically to be that way, so on and so forth. They've made it easier to do that. So I'll put a link in the show notes with this bit here, and you can go over and really read the details on this. It's a nice feature, and he goes into all the details about it. So you can get 25% off all the versions of Image Framer by going to our landing page. We have a landing page there that gives you the discounts. It's at www.apparentsoft.com, apparentsoft.com/TDS. And of course, the link to it's in the show notes, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. All you got to do is just go to the digital story, click on the tile. It'll take you to the discount page. But anyway, Image Framer is one of those really useful apps. And this update, version 3.4, some nice additions. Just getting the extra frames alone is pretty cool. But the other goodies are great too. And I really appreciate them sponsoring this week's show. Member quotes of the week. Intelligent comments culled from the Digital Story Facebook page. So we had a pretty good conversation on couples ditch wedding photographers for amateurs in the UK. I put that post up. And basically what it talked about is that a lot of people getting married now, instead of hiring a professional photographer, they're having Uncle Bob do it, or you know, any guest with a digital camera or GoPro, you know, record the thing. So I thought, you know, that would be a good topic for discussion. So I asked our listeners, you know, what do you think? And here are some of the comments. Sean wrote, I hear photographers complain all the time about this and the $500 Craigslist photographer. But the simple truth is that these people were never their potential clientele in the first place. There will always be people willing to pay for quality. And John added, the weird thing about wedding photography is we provide the memories. The food is forgotten, hopefully, the next day. And all the money spent on alcohol, flowers, etc., all of it is transient. The only thing that will last the length of the marriage is the wedding album or the USB full of memories that you deliver soon after the big day. Yet the wedding photographer is the thing where people complain the most about the cost. And Tilly has the last say, looks like a good time for UK photographers to up their game, and all of us perhaps, and ask the question, what exceptional value can I bring to the table as a professional? I'm trying to figure out how to wow the bride and groom at their upcoming wedding that I'm shooting. Maybe I'll take a few IR shots. If you see a topic you like, post a comment. Believe me, I read them. And I'll tell you, I try to comment or like as much as possible. But it's entertaining for me. I tell you, I mean, I like going there just, you know, as a fellow photographer. If you're not going over there, go over there and hang out. And, you know, if you're tired of lurking, post a comment. Speaking of Facebook, I asked a question. If you had to pick one film camera from the past that you craved but couldn't afford, what would it be? So I'm just going to read you this list. This is what folks posted. These are cameras that they craved but couldn't afford. A Leica M4 from 1978 with the f1.4 50mm. A pre-war Contax 3, a Hasselblad, a Maxim 9000, a Nikon F2H, a Contax G2, a Rolleiflex SL2000 35mm, a Fuji 6.45 wide angle, the Minolta Maxim 7, Canon A1, Olympus OM4T, Nikon FM2N, Zeiss Icon Contra-X SLR, and finally, the Pentax LX. Interesting. There's a few cameras on that list that I would have guessed. And then there were some real surprises. The Minoltas from the day had two entries on this list, which I thought was pretty cool. So anyway, that was just kind of a fun thing. I like to do that every now and then, and that's what they're craving. That's what they lust after. All right, let's do a few updates. Point Reyes Photography Workshop this coming August 19th through 21. We have one room open, and if you're interested in this workshop, just go to the TDS Workshops page, choose the send me info, and go ahead and choose Point Reyes, and I'll connect with you and get you the information that you need. Or if you want, just send me email, Derrick@thedigitalstory.com, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, and I'll get you hooked up with the scoop. And finally, make sure that you visit our good friends over at Red River Paper. I got a great letter today. Actually, it was a tweet. I got a tweet today from one of our listeners who said that he just ordered the sample pack of Red River Paper because he was so thankful about them, you know, being sponsors of the show, which they are. They are our longest running sponsors, and I'll tell you, we owe a lot to them. But, you know, the neat thing about it is he did that for a very good reason, right? To reward a sponsor. But what he's going to get is just this really cool pack of paper in these different surfaces. And then he's going to make prints. And then, you know what I mean? It's just going to start this whole thing that's just a beautiful artistic thing. I was printing cards this weekend, fine art cards. And I had to figure out how to output them from photos for OS X, because I wanted to include that in the book that I'm doing for Rocky Nook. And I did. And so I'm printing these fine art cards. And so, you know, I have them laying around the studio. And so I only have one left because people would come over for meetings or for their instruction. You know, I do the one-on-one tutoring. And they'd see the cards and they loved them so much that they'd want to keep one. And so I'd let them. And so I have one left. These things are neat. So again, printed on Red River paper, 7x10. Really great stuff. All right, well, that is going to do it for me this week. Think about those things I said at the top of the show in terms of getting out there and, you know, shooting more for yourself to help offset all the responsibilities that I know you have. You'll feel better, and you'll probably do your job better, too. Anyway, so go take some shots. Have a great week. Come back next time. I'll have more good stuff for you, and we'll do it all again. Until then, bye-bye now.